This evening, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Reverend Ken and Linda Nixon, who is going to be sharing the message of transformational creation. Welcome.
Hello, and good evening, familiar faces and new faces. It is truly a pleasure and an honor to be here with you this evening. I am indeed the Reverend Ken and Linda Nixon. Thank you, Stephen. And I am the former co-chair of the Enviro Action Committee of the Diocese of Huron. When Stephen asked me to come and speak to you about creation, there are so many different ways that we could do that. But in light of the COP26 that is just ended in Glasgow, and a few other experiences, I bring to you a message, I hope, that will give us some food for thought and some challenges and hope as well. So thank you again for having me here this evening. Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? I will, with God's help. I just uttered these words this afternoon at our baptism service at 2:00. And very likely many of you have also said these words in recent memory or before COVID, perhaps, when you've attended a baptismal service. It is the fifth mark of mission, and it is definitely inserted into our baptismal covenant, and for very good reason. It has been said this planet is on fire. People have been saying that for years now. David Suzuki has brought a message of warning for over 7 decades. A Silent Spring, written by Rachel Carson in 1962. In 1994, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change formed an international treaty to gather countries together, to work together. 2015 saw the Paris Agreement, and we thought we were on our way. Sadly, it feels like very little has changed, and we're running out of time. Greta Thunberg, she is amazing at 18 years old. She has the attention of millions and calls out the leaders of this world by saying, blah, blah, blah. Did you catch that this week? And it does feel that way. COP26 has just ended, and we wonder what is going to be different. An international agreement to phase down coal, sticking with the limit of a global warming to 1.5, is a little hopeful, but we wanted more. It wasn't truly the collective agreement that we were looking for, and it may feel like nothing has changed. There is a classic midrash. Now, that's the interpretation by rabbis of the scripture. And from Ecclesiastes, this rabbi describes the time when God created Adam. God led him around the Garden of Eden and said, "Look at my work. How beautiful and praiseworthy are they. Everything that I have created, I created for you. Take care not to damage and destroy my world, for if you destroy it, there's no one to repair it after you." Our Christian calling to care for creation is not only to understand that it needs tending and love, but also that it is sacred. All the created order is sacred. And it seems to me what has tripped us up as humanity for centuries is that word, dominion. Dominion sounds like dominance, doesn't it? Ownership, control, power, privilege. privilege, which fundamentally is what the word means. But we have all seen what happens when that gets out of control. By individuals, by institutions, by companies, and by countries. The problem I see in the implementation of the word dominion is the lack of the word responsibility. Because even when we take the word at its meaning, if we don't take care of that we're taking dominion over, if we're not taking responsibility for it, it either dies or leaves in one way or another. A ruler who doesn't take care of his people, his lands, his livestock, will have no dominion. If we don't take care of what we are given, how can it live? How can we live? So let's get back to that sacredness. We heard the Psalms say, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them?" Clearly, this psalmist is in awe of creation. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up next to a river. Some of you may know where Sauble Beach is. Some of you. Sauble River is where I was privileged and so blessed to grow up beside. And often I would sneak out at night, and this is in the summertime, but I'm poor mother. I would sneak out and I would go for a swim in the dark. Okay? That's not a good idea. Don't do that. Anybody listening out there, don't do that, especially not alone. But I would. And I would float on my back and just gaze up into the stars. It was probably the most sacred and spiritual time. Because as you're floating there and you're looking at those stars, you start to feel like you're being lifted into them. It's beautiful. And you can do that actually lying on the grass, probably much safer. Much safer. I encourage you to do that this summer. It is when we connect with creation that we truly understand to the fiber of our being just how sacred it is. This psalmist, in his awe of creation, recognizes our place in the created order maybe a little differently. That we are nothing compared to the vastness and beauty of all creation. Oh my, it's true. But then there's that word dominion under their feet. Again, food is a gift from God that requires care and tending. I liked the reading that we had from Revelation as well. It's a beautiful picture of the tree of life next to the river. But if we listen to it, just a little bit tweaked, just let your imagination suspend the theologies, suspend the literal words that we heard, and just think for a minute. The river, the water of life, who is that? It's Jesus. Bright as crystal, pure. The tree of life. Again, Jesus. The leaves of the tree, all of the faithful. And those leaves are for the healing of the nations. My goodness, is this a calling to serve, to heal, to fight for justice, the healing of the nations? And even if we can't hear it here, we have many scriptures that do call us into a service of healing, justice, love, compassion, and peace. So what can we do, since much of the outcry to care for the environment seems to fall on leadership that has either deaf ears or promises to do one thing or another, and for whatever reason can't follow through, blah, 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 blah. My goodness, that girl has spunk, doesn't she? We need to think about transformational creation. How do we care for a creation that is changing? Yes, it changes naturally, but it's unfortunately changing very quickly at the hands of human activity. Father, forgive us, for we know not what we are doing. You see, education is a huge piece of us moving forward to be able to be good stewards of creation. And this is true, because if we don't stop and think about the purchases we make and the impact that it has on people and the environment, we're just continuing to perpetuate problems. And it is complicated, but we can learn. If we don't consider what we could and should sacrifice in the name of reduced carbon emissions, for instance, we are missing an opportunity. You know, there was a time in my life I thought I would never be able to get on a plane because it was for the rich. At that particular time, our family certainly did not have the funds to travel. But now that I've been on a plane and I've seen different parts of the country and the world, I want to go some more. But I have to think about what that carbon footprint looks like. Are we really willing not to fly unless it's not necessary? In this day of tech, do businesses really have to fly to that meeting regularly? Do we really have to poke holes in the ozone for rockets? How much carbon does that create? But I digress. Christians should be calling our governments into question with the decisions they make, being conscious of our purchases and habits is important. Then there is literally the environment right around us, in our homes, in our yards, in our church properties. How can we make changes there? How can we transform the wee bit of creation in our immediate vicinity? Solar panels on buildings for alternative energy? Rooftop gardens in cities, that takes away some of the heat. As the former co-chair of the Enviro Action, I am so pleased that our churches have been responsive to building butterfly gardens and park-like settings on their properties. Not only are they beautiful, but they are welcoming and educational as well. Some of them have planted native plants and have little information packets there that people walking by can learn about our native environment. They put benches so that people can reconnect to the nature or just, you know, sit in awe of a flower garden beside them. They plant pollination gardens so that the bees and other pollinators can come and feed and keep all of our plants healthy. And in doing so, what they are doing is creating sacred space outside of our indoor sacred space. And it makes everyone welcome at any time. This is truly a small step that we as a Christian community can do to make a difference in our immediate environment. Corporately, worldwide, in our country, individuals are making decisions to change every day. There is hope in renewable energies, conscious and careful consumerism, as well as building awareness wherever and whenever we can. We are told through Scripture that Christ came so that we may have life and have life abundantly. We're not left alone ever. We're certainly not left alone to do this work. We can work together, not only in the Anglican Church, but ecumenically, in interfaith relationships, and politically, to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect sustain, and renew the life of the earth. We need only to ask. Ask God, what can we do in our small corner? I believe, gifted with Holy Spirit, we can seek direction, strength, and encouragement. We can live out our faith, our baptismal covenant together, facing the future with hope and peace and joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.